Good evening, everybody. It's a pleasure to be back here at NYU. Always a pleasure to be here with John and so many friends, and especially to be able to celebrate with the American Academy of Arts and Sciences this anniversary. Those of you who don't know the Academy well might not be aware of the many programs that they offer across the country, and in addition to what they do in Cambridge. But most of us in higher education follow what they do very closely and participate as much as we can in their wonderful programs. I had the opportunity for part of my career to work at USC. And there's an apocryphal story that most of you probably know about USC and the Watts riots. The story goes that during those perilous moments, the violence went right up to USC and stopped. And that story is all about the relationship that existed between the African-American community and USC. Now, that didn't really have a lot to do with overt efforts by USC, I would argue. It had more to do with having a great football team and recruiting from the community, and also with the fact that USC does a lot of outreach in Southern California. At the time, they were able to admit quite a lot of students from the area. Part of the dilemma that one has as president of a place like Brown is that the relationship with our city and with the state begins with a dilemma, and that is that as a highly selective university, we are not able to have the same outreach that many universities can have. And this begins, with a kind of troubled proposition. Why can't you admit more local students? This reminds me of a student, extraordinary students, that we managed to admit from a nearby high school. Extraordinary student, striving, intelligent clearly, immigrant, he came to Brown, and his high school didn't have calculus, and he was very frustrated because he could not take the courses that he wanted to take or major in what he wanted to major in because he had not had adequate preparation. So that's a dilemma. Second dilemma I want to start with is that, I don't know about the rest of you, but when I became president of a university, somehow nobody told me that there was some civic role that accompanied that. You know, I really did think I would be behind these wonderful ivy walls, dealing, yes, with faculty and students, but it never occurred to me that the city was going to be a major part of that. But I should have guessed something, because the day that I arrived in Providence to go up to the Hill to make a speech upon my appointment, as the car was driving up the hill, people along the way were giving me the thumbs up. And I was thinking, what do they know? What do they know about? So there it is. I learned very quickly, however, when I joined Brown, that there was a major part of my position that involved the city. The relationship between Brown and the city of Providence, of course, is longstanding. We are older than our state and city, an awkward thing, I would say, particularly awkward when the matter of taxes come up, because constitutionally, of course, when the city threatens to tax us, we bring out the charter with the King of England. And that is not, they don't like that very much. Don't know why they don't like it very much, but But in any case, since the founding of the university, we have been working very closely with the city and state. And of course, that continues today. We have, first of all, our alumni have been leaders in our community for decades. Our current governor, our governor-elect, our lieutenant governor, attorney general, mayor of Providence, newly elected congressmen, while they don't share always the same political parties, they do share this one thing, and that is they're all Brown alums. We have the opportunity to work with them to identify ways to stimulate the economy and enhance the quality of life in our small state where we have a very large impact. A recent analysis conducted by an independent consultant estimated that Brown directly and indirectly accounted for nearly 8,200 Rhode Island jobs and $660 million in economic output in 2009. That's a very big deal for our very small state. Brown is the sixth largest private employer in Rhode Island and the second largest private employer in Providence, employing 4,455 people. Brown spent, I won't give you all of this data, but all of this is to say that we really are, we have a major impact on the economy of Rhode Island. That's both good and it's also fraught. It's fraught because as much as we are a major player in the state of Rhode Island, that very visibility in the state and in the city creates more and more demands on us. Particularly when problems arise. I'll say a little bit more about that. But we believe that we're playing a very honorable role. And a site, for example, during the recent downturn, we proceeded with capital projects precisely because we didn't want to withdraw those projects and have all the jobs disappear as a consequence. Knowing the condition of our city and state, we wanted to make sure that we paid attention to the city and the economic problem of the city, even as we were trying to address our own internal issues with the budget. In 2009, Brown was one of the largest individual taxpayers in the city, paying $2.2 million annually in property tax, and we paid another $1.1 million in voluntary payments to Providence. These figures are important, especially given the issues that the city and state are facing. The state has been among the states with the highest unemployment rate. In January 2010, Providence had an unemployment rate of 13.9%. Rhode Island's was slightly lower at 13.4%, and today they're both in the 11% range. In fact, I would say that since 2002, the city has lost 18,000 private sector jobs, while education, healthcare, and social service sectors created 13,000 new jobs during this time. So, in fact, without the not-for-profits, Rhode Island would have, in fact, been in much worse state than they've been in. In recent years, we've seen attempts by the city council, the mayor's office, and the state legislature to impose taxes on the colleges, the private colleges. This issue has caused strains in our relationship with policymakers and to some extent with the public. This is a source of great pain to all of us at Brown because we are working as hard as we can to help the city and state, but the demands just keep coming. And the efforts to undo the not-for-profit status of the university are frankly relentless. But we are trying to help expand the city's tax base. We've been working closely with a number of partners in the public, private, and nonprofit sectors to jumpstart a knowledge-based sector which builds upon the research done by institutions like Brown, our hospital partners, the University of Rhode Island, Rhode Island School of Design, and others. In fact, I appointed a senior officer at Brown to serve as an economic development champion for the effort. In addition to his work as planner and economic advisor, He works with other institutions and businesses, civic and political leaders, to build support for the goals of the knowledge-based economy and develop a plan for achieving those goals. Our focus for this undertaking is an area of the city known as the Jewelry District. It formerly was the world capital of jewelry manufacturing. This district is in the process of being transformed into a locus of research, bioengineering, life sciences, healthcare, and green technology. Brown is considered the anchor for this enterprise. We made a decision to locate our laboratories for molecular medicine there in 2003, and then subsequent to that, a number of decisions to put more of this kind of activity in this area, which essentially was a dying area. And so we've added now a medical school building that we're working on, and we purchased 10 buildings in this same area in order to spur development. We view the occupancy of space in this district as a contribution to the health of Providence, but sometimes the local officials resist the idea of our taking more space off the tax rolls, even though we are paying taxes on a 10-year, 20-year basis as the properties come off the tax rolls. They believe that we are gobbling up space, but in fact there's incredible vacancy in Providence today. Approximately 1.35 million square feet of vacant office space on the market in downtown Providence. Total vacancy rate is about 21.5%. I think I won't give you much more data about that. I do want to talk about something that seems to me to be pretty important, and that is the leadership role that universities are able to play in their cities in regard to other kinds of endeavors. We talk a lot about efforts like knowledge-based economy, but I think that there's so much more that universities represent, particularly in terms of humanistic thought and a kind of effort to address citizenship, standards of citizenship in our country. And I think that's an extremely important thing for us to do as well. I want to just say that in addition to all those things that we're doing, we spent a lot of time thinking about what we should be doing for the children in our area. We recently went through a study at Brown of the history of the region, the history of Brown, and particularly in regard to slavery. And one of the results of that study was that our campus recommended a series of things that we ought to be doing in education. So we committed to building an endowment for the children of Providence, a $10 million endowment, obviously to grow over time, to supplement the educational programs in our public schools. We've now been able to make rounds of grants, and as you might imagine, what we've been able to do is to keep music programs in the schools, to supplement mathematics and science education, and to do other things that schools at the current level of funding simply are not able to do. I'm extremely pleased with that program, and I think we'll be doing much more of that. The other thing that we did, again related to education, was to enable students to study tuition-free at Brown, provided getting a master's degree in urban education, provided that they would work in the public schools in Providence. And that, too, has been, I think, very successful. The question that I have for us, given the issues that we've had at Brown, is what can we do to persuade our public that we are doing what we should be doing in regard to helping the cities? This is something that we worry about quite a lot. We're never satisfied that either policymakers or the public fully understands what contribution we are making to our cities. And it's very frustrating when we have one more proposal every year to tax colleges and universities because the public is outraged that we are not doing enough. So I'd be happy to have that enter into the discussion. Thank you very much.